Welcome to Set the Tone, Change the Experience, Episode 19 of Co-Creating Peace, a series about conscious communication and conflict transformation. I'm Kathleen Aouigon. In any dynamic, someone sets the tone, consciously or unconsciously. The tone that is set has a powerful influence on what happens next and what the outcome will be. Setting the tone is a vital part of conscious communication. In today's episode, I'll share some thoughts with you on mindfully setting the tone for the kind of experiences you want to create with other people. I have a little recipe for that, which I'll share with you as well. But first, the quote for today. Today's quote is by Tony DeSico. Have a vision and then create your own reality. Otherwise, someone else may create it for you. Each of us has the power to set the tone for our experience with others, and that is one of the ways that we can begin to create our own reality. Some use that power consciously, some unconsciously. Some don't use it at all and simply follow the lead of those who have already set the tone. The situation and the people involved will often affect whether or not we have the desire or feel we have the ability to set the tone. Some people abuse the power to set the tone, which can cause others to get swallowed up in the tone that's been set and feel compelled to participate in ways that they might not otherwise have chosen. Of course, we all have free will and can resist that compulsion, but for various reasons, we sometimes don't. An example that comes to mind is the tone that has been set throughout history and in recent years that hatred and destruction of other human beings is beneficial in some way, that one race will somehow benefit by hating and killing people of different races, or that one religion will somehow benefit if people who believe in that religion hate and kill people of other faiths. Fortunately, there are many who choose not to get swallowed up in that, and many others who have chosen to set a different tone of honoring and celebrating our differences. We can set the tone for hatred, aggression, and destruction, or we can set the tone for acceptance, understanding, and collaboration. I invite you today to make a conscious decision to set the tone for the experiences you want to have in your life and in the way that you'll relate to other human beings in every context of your life. I know from my own experience that when we do this, well-being results and people and relationships thrive. Here's some examples of how setting the tone is used. The majority of people who come to mediation arrive mentally armed for battle. They've usually been in conflict with the other person or people for some time before they somehow end up in mediation. Many have the mindset that they're there to triumph over, maybe even vanquish, those they're mediating with. They're going to prove that the other person or people are wrong and how bad they are and how deserving they are of some kind of retribution. They're not there to resolve the conflict, but to win the battle. So the various participants in the mediation are all going to try to set the tone that they're in control of the outcome. If the mediator doesn't set a different tone, one that prevails over the others, the resolution is highly unlikely. The battle will rage on as it always has, and the mediation won't have a positive effect on that. Of course, most mediators know this. It's usually one of the first tools that mediators are taught, to set the tone of the process for collaboration and the resolution of conflict. How do we do this? One way is with our choice of words. Many of us will start the mediation process by thanking the participants for being willing to collaborate with one another in finding a resolution that will work for everyone involved. We've begun to set the tone for that to happen. We acknowledge their courage and wisdom for doing so. We talk about concerns rather than problems. We use words like requests instead of demand when we're referring to what one person is asking of another. And we're very mindful of the tone of voice that we use, because our tone of voice can have as much influence as our choice of words, sometimes more. You've heard me talk in previous episodes of this podcast about how the same words with an entirely different tone of voice can completely change the impact of those words. Mediators also set the tone with the environment that we choose for the mediation, by the way we use our body language and the way we treat each person equally and without bias. And because there may well be other people present who understand the power of setting the tone and are determined that they're going to set the tone for their triumph and the other person's vanquishment, mediators also often have to set the tone that the participants are equally in charge of the outcome and the mediator is in charge of the process. We usually do that by saying it outright in a calm but firm way and then assuring that everyone agrees to that before proceeding. If we did not set that tone at the outset, the person with the strongest personality or the person who is most brutal would dominate the process and the conflict would continue in the way it always had. Another aspect of my professional work is that I facilitate meetings. Because I'm also a mediator, I'm sometimes contracted to facilitate highly contentious public meetings, some of which have had more than 300 angry people participating. How can a meeting of over 300 angry people be productive, much less collaborative, you ask? How do I manage that dynamic so that it doesn't break out into fights? I'll tell you right now that if I didn't set the right tone from the outset, it would not be possible. Long before the meeting starts, when I send out the very first invitation or announcement, I start setting the tone for a peaceful, collaborative meeting where everyone will be treated with respect and where all voices are heard and honored equally, even in the presence of differing opinions and upset. I'm extremely thoughtful about my choice of words in those invitations, because with a written word, I don't have the benefit of using my tone of voice to convey my intent and support the correct interpretation of my meaning. I think of the phrasing of that invitation or announcement as preparing the soil for the seeds of wisdom that people bring to be received and nurtured so that they will sprout and one day bear fruit. Then I mindfully plan how I will set the tone at the meeting. I design the agenda and its wording to have a flow that supports mutual respect, collaboration, and harmony. I articulate the goal of the meeting similarly. I plan my opening statement and how I will deliver it to perpetuate the tone I've been setting from the very start. All that is critical to others adopting the tone I want to set, yet it might not be enough, especially with 300 angry people, unless I am highly conscious of the tone that I want to set with my presence. Words aren't always enough. To truly set a tone that others will adopt, we have to support our words with how we show up. That means our emotional and spiritual energy, our appearance, how we use our body language, and the intention we exude, as well as our words and tone of voice. Although I may have some fear about the idea of having to get up on stage in front of over 300 angry people and about how I will facilitate a productive meeting in such a situation, I cannot let fear or weakness show up in my demeanor, or I will be a goner. At the same time, I can't let that nervousness inspire me to try to exert power or force over them and come on too strong, or I'll have all those people resisting me. In my mind, I reframe my view of those people, no longer seeing them as angry, but instead seeing them as passionate about something they feel strongly about. That helps me set the right tone in the way I see and relate to them. To help me do all that, I need to find my center, to tap into my higher wisdom, the strength that comes from that higher wisdom, and the courage that comes from that strength. I need to find a place of quiet strength, of serenity, of compassion, of respect for every living being. When I do that, I can then model that for other people, which helps set the tone for them to do the same. When people come from that place inside themselves, they're better able to see, think, speak, and act from their highest and wisest self. And that's how I want people to show up when they're about to talk about what's upsetting them. So I set the tone for that by modeling that. After all that preparation, after doing what I can in advance to set the tone I want for this meeting, it's time for me to convene the meeting. Before I walk out on stage in front of all those people, I take a few deep breaths to lower my heart rate and help me stay centered. And I walk calmly and confidently onto the stage. I look out across all those people with friendly warmth and compassion in my eyes. I see a room full of my fellow human beings, people who, like me, are striving for a better tomorrow. I honor them where they are, as they are. Maybe their vision and approach to creating a better tomorrow are different from mine, but I'm consciously choosing to focus on our shared humanity rather than our differences. This is one of the aspects of the tone I want to set, so I consciously model that. Now, I know that most of you won't be facilitating highly contentious meetings, and I encourage you not to try unless you've had some facilitation and mediation training. I just wanted to give you that example so that you would have a sense of how powerful and useful mindfully setting the tone can be. And by the way, in case you're wondering, no, I have never had a public meeting get out of control. I'm relieved to say that, knock on wood, I've always been able to successfully set a tone for a peaceful, respectful meeting. The principles of setting the tone are essentially the same, regardless of the context. Think about some of the conversations you've had with others that have had a distinct impact on you, positive or negative. Harken back to the beginning of that conversation or experience. If you think carefully and look closely, you'll recall that something was said or something happened that set the tone for that conversation or experience. It might be something someone says or does, or it might be the way they say or do it, or it might be a combination of all that. Perhaps you're recalling a conversation that began with the other person saying, "We need to talk." If they said those words with that tone of voice, you probably either became filled with dread and dark thoughts, or you went into warrior mode and began to mentally arm yourself for battle. That's because the tone of voice used was one that was aggressive and adversarial. The words themselves aren't the only part of what set the tone, and in the example I just used, those particular words with a different tone of voice might have set a completely different tone. Of course, when you need to have a conversation about improving a situation or dynamic, changing the wording from "we need to talk" to "I'd love to have a collaborative conversation with you to figure out something that will work well for both of us" will make it easier to set the tone for a positive conversation and an outcome that brings resolution and restores harmony. So let's say that someone else has already set a tone that isn't working for you, and you want to set a different tone. If you try to get into a power battle with them, that's the tone that you will set. One of people struggling to get power over one another and over the dynamic. Instead, I encourage you to choose words and a tone of voice that are observational, inviting, collaborative, and model the tone that you hope to set. You might say, "I'm hoping to shift this dynamic a bit. What I'd like for us all to experience is," fill in the blank. "Here's what I'm hoping we might do to help that happen," fill in the blank. "If you'd be willing to try that with me, please, I think we'll be able to make some good progress." Did you notice my choice of words and my tone of voice? I used a calm, centered, inviting voice and phrased it as a request, which included the benefit I saw for everyone involved. I wasn't demanding or forceful, nor did I come across as weak or pleading. If someone says no to that, I would continue to model the kind of flexibility and negotiability I'm looking for from them. So I would start negotiating with them by saying, What is it about my request that doesn't work for you? Or what would you need to feel more comfortable trying a different dynamic? Or if what I'm proposing doesn't work for you, what kind of different dynamic would you like to try? Did you notice how that last question set the tone that we were going to try a different dynamic, but left how the dynamic would change open to negotiation and gave them the opportunity to start the negotiation? If the other person simply refuses to change the dynamic and I don't feel that I can participate, I won't get into a power battle with them, nor will I participate in something that doesn't feel right to me. Instead, I stay centered, now shifting my focus to setting the tone that I will do what's right for me without disrespecting what they feel is right for them. I would simply say, "I'm sorry to hear that. I look forward to continuing this conversation when we can have it in a more constructive way. I'm willing to negotiate with you how that would look whenever you're ready." Did you notice that in that last example, the tone I set was that I have boundaries for what I'm willing or not willing to participate in, and that I will hold those boundaries? That's right. Boundaries can be an integral part of setting the tone in some cases. Sometimes we have to set the tone that certain things are not acceptable to us, and we will honor our boundaries whether or not others do. Of course, if you're going to be successful in setting that tone, you'll need to honor other people's boundaries in the same way that you want your own boundaries honored. Setting the tone is useful in so many contexts, whether it's at the start of an important or difficult conversation, or any other kind of conversation for that matter, or in a relationship of any kind, when having a gathering or event, planning a vacation, or any other type of experience. Setting the tone will help you create the experience that you want. If you have a vision for how you want that experience to be, mindfully set the tone for that. Remember last week when I talked about the challenges and negative experiences we can often have when we relate to one another in our roles rather than as fellow human beings? One of my favorite times to consciously set a new tone is when I feel that's happening with someone I'm talking to. I did that the other day when I was talking to a customer service person who worked for a government agency where many of the customers she spoke with were very upset and highly combative. The first time I tried to ask her a clarifying question, she responded to me as though I were a combative customer, speaking to me in a combative tone of voice herself. I didn't want to be in that role, so I knew I had to set a different tone for our conversation or it wasn't going to go well. So I immediately softened my tone of voice and made it more friendly and personable. That began to set the tone I wanted to create. I said, "I know your job must be so hard and you have angry people arguing with you all day. I want you to know that I'm not one of those angry people. I simply want to make sure that I'm understanding what you want me to know. I'm not trying to argue with you." That's all it took to set the tone for a much better conversation. From that point forward, she was much more relaxed in the way she spoke to me, and when our conversation ended, she was actually casual and friendly with me. As I mentioned in the last episode, I've done the same thing when I've been pulled over for going too fast on the highway, and it did wonders for improving that experience for me, and I believe for the person who pulled me over. So here's your setting the tone recipe in a nutshell. You'll notice this has some similar ingredients to the anatomy of conscious communication, which I talked about in episode 2 of this podcast. The first step is to define your goal for the tone you want to set. What is your intention? What do you hope to accomplish? How do you want this experience to feel for you and for the others involved? Next, you'll want to identify any boundaries that you might have that are related to the tone you want to set, or that are inspiring you to set this tone. Get clear inside yourself about that so that you can be clear with others. Now that you've set your goal and defined any related boundaries, you should be getting a clear sense of the tone you want to set. For example, if your goal is to have a peaceful conversation with someone where the two of you are able to deeply hear one another and reach new levels of understanding about each other, the tone you'll likely want to set is calm, open, friendly, safe, unifying. Finally, think about the best choice of words, tone of voice, and timing for setting that tone. You may want to go back and listen to episode 2 about the anatomy of conscious communication to refresh your memory on some of the details of mindfully designing your communication. As a final thought on setting the tone, at least for now, as you become comfortable with this practice, consider broadening the scope of its application. What I mean by that is that you can actually mindfully set the tone for your experience of your life. Now there's something to contemplate. If you aren't happy with the tone or direction of your life, set a different tone for that. The result will either be that your life will change, or even if your life doesn't change, your experience of your life will, because you have set the tone for a different experience. Yes, setting the tone is a major step in creating the reality you want in your life. Once you try it, you'll be amazed at what a useful and powerful tool setting the tone can be. I look forward to hearing from you with your requests for advice about conscious communication or conflict transformation. I will honor whatever level of confidentiality you want in my response. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have about anything I've shared with you. All you have to do is email me at owegon@bridgesofpeace.com. That's OWEEGON @bridgesofpeace.com. I will reply within 2 business days. If you have ideas for episodes of this podcast or specific things you'd like to learn about conscious communication and conflict transformation, please let me know that too. I want this show to have a direct and positive impact on your life. You'll be able to hear a new episode of Co-Creating Peace every weekend. Join me next week when I'll talk about how to identify, articulate, and maintain your boundaries, and how conflict can result when we don't do that. This episode of Co-Creating Peace has been brought to you by Bridges of Peace, providing mediation, facilitation, training, and communication coaching services throughout the U.S. and around the world. Learn more about Bridges of Peace by visiting www.bridgesofpeace.com. Thank you for listening, and may you always find new ways to co-create peace in your life.